It's Monday, and Dick Weiss joins us, former editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 30 years, 20 years as a Metro editor. He also has a website, Weissright.com. I'll never get it, Weissright.com. And you are our media critic. Dick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Good to be with you. The Tony La Russa topic last week, you couldn't go anywhere in town without somebody commenting on Tony La Russa and what do you think. It isn't like anybody has any great insights to it. It's just everybody wants to talk about it. Was it overblown in the media?
Not in my opinion, partly because Tony La Russa is such a upright, upstanding guy who is very buttoned down, and all of a sudden the springs came loose, and he had an incident, a very serious incident. Drunk driving is a scourge in our society, and so it caused a lot of comment. I went on the Post-Dispatch website immediately after learning what happened, and the emails were just piling up, the comments, and I'm sure on your lines
here's what I find interesting, in that people say if it was Joe Smith it wouldn't be a news story. Well, that's absolutely right. The fact is that it was Tony La Russa makes it a news story.
Right, he's a role model. I would say if it were Daryl Strawberry, it wouldn't be as much of a news story because things had happened to him in the past. But Tony La Russa, you know, he's a role model for our community. He's a high-visibility guy. He just won the World Series. He'd given a lecture to his troops on behaving yourselves appropriately in the wake of all that attention, and something happened that night.
But Channel 4 sends down Donna Severese after the fact, standing at the intersection. This is where it happened. A little bit overkill.
Well, a bit dramatic. I watched the Channel 5 coverage, and I think it was Ann Rubin went down, and she stuck a microphone in the pitching coach's face. Was it
Duncan?
Dave Duncan.
Yeah.
And he just snarled at her. I wondered why she played that, because he just, it was just sort of an ugly little tableau where he said, "I'm not talking about that. Why are you asking me these questions?"
He doesn't even talk about baseball-related topics to the media.
No, he's a little difficult to speak with. And Tony himself has not been always the nicest with the media. He's gotten better over the years,
right,
especially since he started selling books and raising money for his animal
rescue
campaign.
Yeah. But the man did say at the end of the game, He apologized. He made a statement. I mean, what more can he say?
I think you could hardly ask for more than what he did. I don't know that he yet has decided how to plead on this. It's possible that he will plead not guilty and go through all of this, but I suspect he probably will just pay his fine or take his penalty because it is a misdemeanor.
Ultimately, though, it was a big story because it happened, but he didn't wrap himself around a pole, that nobody was killed, and so it's salacious, and it's a news story, but people, I thought, treated it like it was Leonard Little, and that's the DEFCON 5 word.
Right, and Brian Burwell did a column on Leonard Little's, in some ways, defending Leonard and saying he was a good guy, but the outcome, Leonard Little's outcome, and then his subsequent arrest,
which he was acquitted for,
certainly put him back in the limelight. There are a couple of interesting things in terms of Tony La Russa and what you might regard as his punishment. His rap sheet essentially was on the net, and the Post-Dispatch, perhaps others, also provided a link to it where you could find his home address
and his phone numbers.
And his phone numbers, which if you're not a celebrity, you're not going to pay that kind of price. Now, he can change his numbers, and I suspect he probably already has, but changing your home address is a little bit more difficult.
I mean, don't you think that should have been redacted?
Well, I'm of two minds about that. I guess I feel that the Post-Dispatch probably didn't need to provide the link. But on the other hand, if you I believe in sunshine for all kinds of material, and if you have if you begin to withhold material for some people because they're celebrities and not for other people, that's a slippery slope. So
I'm not so sure anybody's phone number should be made available to the public.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, laws are different in every state, and Florida is probably one of the more open states in terms of providing information.
But they did take out his Social Security number. They did black that out.
And his health, his medical records.
Yeah. Right. So, all right, let's move on. Your old newspaper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, wrote a story yesterday about lending practices with some banks and minorities. You're somewhat critical of that article.
Yes. The Post-Dispatch cited a national study in which it, the study indicated that minorities are treated differently and don't get as good a deal on mortgage rates, and that lenders are taking advantage. The Post-Dispatch interviewed some people in St. Louis who pay higher interest rates. They interviewed some experts, and this story was displayed prominently on the front page. In the old days, the Post-Dispatch would have done its own study, and I think that was the difference. There's nothing wrong with doing that report, but when I saw the paper on the newsstand, I saw that the paper had done a story on this. I thought, oh, wow, that's great. The Post-Dispatch is really digging some stuff up, and really they did a kind of a superficial job and played it on the front page. Lots of newspapers are doing this because their newsrooms are getting hollowed out. I was part of a buyout over a year ago in which 40 people left the staff. And then however talented we may or may not have been, losing 40 people is going to affect how much enterprise journalism you can do.
So you're saying
this, to me, was an indicator of that.
So the researchers weren't there, the time to get it done, the time to spend on a study to get more local numbers wasn't there.
Yeah, this sort of study really takes months. And so the Post-Dispatch did what it could, but displaying it on the front page in as prominent a way as possible and sort of suggesting that this was, in the way in which it was displayed, that this was terrific enterprise journalism when it wasn't, it was sort of sad to see.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. So that's when you talk about a depleted newsroom, that's what you're talking about. Stories.
Yeah. That's
like that.
That's the effect you're seeing.
Yeah. All right. Channel 5 last night had a fascinating story between Veronica O'Brien and Diana Borisaw, and some crazy video.
Yeah. It was actually a few days ago. They had a video showing Veronica O'Brien charging into Diana Borisaw's office. And it appeared as if Diana was Borisaw was talking on the phone with someone. I think
it was Harry Kennedy.
Yeah, State Senator, a legislator.
Right.
And Ms. O'Brien, Ms. Borisaw alleges, hung up the phone, hit the little button and interrupted her conversation. And then there was no audio on this thing, just video. And there was a little portion where Ms. Borisaw alleges that Ms. O'Brien was threatening her and telling her what was going to happen to her. And then she stalks off. And Veronica O'Brien denied that she hung up the phone. It's a little hard to actually see her digit hit the button. So there's a little fuzziness there. But it just made you think about this whole tableau that basically the people who are involved in the St. Louis School District, the adults, just have a few occasional moments of lucidity, and the rest is absolute craziness. First of all, what is Diana Borisaw says that she had this camera installed in her office because things were turning up missing, and she wanted to find out who was taking them. I don't know whether that was school district money or her own or whatever, but it seems a little paranoid. And, and then Veronica O'Brien's actions, I guess, speak for themselves.
But yet Borisaw then turns over this video to Channel 5 and makes a bigger issue of it.
She made a big issue out of it. And Channel 5 was at pains to say this just came up in the middle of a interview about something else.
Right.
That apparently Ms. Borisaw was anxious to
Hey, I've got a video
bring
for
this
you.
Up. Yeah, I got something I want to show you.
Well, you know, with this video and last week you were talking about some of the videos of some of the school board stuff for the sit-in, this is now the wave of the future, these amateur videos being shown and making news.
Right, and just to go back to the Tony La Russa thing, supposedly there's a video of the arrest taken from the dashboard of the police car. You know, whether that should be available or not is a subject that it may come out after he pleads.
Yeah, they're not releasing it now.
They're not releasing it now. And, yeah, it's you got a camera. You know, you can take pictures of Saddam's hanging or almost anything and get it out there very quickly. Citizen journalism is called.
It's, I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad, but makes it for an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Were you happy with the Katie Kirk interview last night with John Edwards?
I didn't see it.
Oh. Yeah,
it was on 60 Minutes.
It was
right?
on 60 Minutes,
oh,
yeah. She has them all sorts of questions about him and her and whether, you know, some people say you're doing this for your own political gain. Some people think you're putting your family second. Some people think you really should go back and try and get healthy and so on and so forth. So, all right, I won't ask you about that.
I didn't do my homework.
No, you didn't. Last question for you. My favorite presidential candidate or possibly presidential candidate is Fred Thompson of ABC. Actor. Turned politician, turned actor.
A fine public servant who plays a fine public servant
yes.
on television. And I think I would like to go over Fred Thompson's background. I think, and you have to listen closely, and if you're in your car, please pull over to the side of the road because it's very complicated. We met, most of us met Fred Thompson back in the Watergate era.
Right.
When he was the Republican counsel and he was Howard Baker's good friend and advisor. And he actually was credited with putting the words in Howard Baker's mouth. What did he know and when did he know it?
Right.
And then he goes on and he becomes gets involved in a case that toppled a governor, a Tennessee governor, Ray Blanton, who was charged with selling pardons. Well, they made a movie about that. And Fred Thompson played himself, okay? So now he has taken his career from politics into the movies, okay? So I want to keep this straight now. So he does that. He gets some other acting gigs, and then he comes back into real life, and he runs for senator.
But he was also in The Hunt for Red October.
Oh, many movies. He's got many credits.
Yeah,
he
was a great character actor.
In The Line of Fire, No Way Out, a lot of good stuff. Then he becomes a senator and has a distinguished career. And right around 2001, he was going to run for another term and decided not to. And but even before he got out of his senatorial post, he got a gig on a television gig. He was on. He started with Law and Order.
Right.
And so he is both a senator and an actor for a little while at the same time, and he plays a district attorney. So then he does, now then he's acting for a while, and then he comes back in the public limelight because he is perhaps going to be a presidential candidate. And so this is
also, he also fills in for Paul Harvey, and he does some commentary for ABC.
That's true.
And he's on with Vic and Katie in the mornings.
And so you get him coming and going. So here's the question I have is when, if he decides to run for president and you see him on television being the intrepid DA, are you going to think that that's who that is that you're voting for? Okay? Then what happens when he's elected president and he says, oh, I think we're going to invade Iran. Okay? Not to worry. It's just a TV show, folks. Don't worry about it. Bombs start falling.
I actually think during all of his speeches, on pauses, it should be dun-dun.
Yeah, like on right. Yeah, yeah. Just like Lonnie. You did that very well. Did that very well. And he's a...
But Fred Thompson is one of those lovable, down-home characters, those good old boy characters with a smart preface behind him. You see what I'm saying?
On TV or in real life?
Both. Well, I think he plays the same guy, whether it's a senator.
You think he actually is playing himself?
Yes, I do.
You know, so if he's against the death penalty, or if he's for the death penalty on Law and Order, he's for the death penalty in real life.
Yes.
Do you know that for a fact?
No, I don't know that for a fact. Doesn't matter, though. It's TV.
Right.
All right, Dick Weiss from WeissWrite.com, St. Louis Post dispatch editor for 30 years, 20 years at the Metro section. WeissWrite.com, it's your website and your writing and critiquing and being a media critic, and you're with us every Monday. Thanks.